Hi, I'm Alan.
And I'm Alexis. We had 5 kids in 7 years. People think we're crazy, and sometimes we think they might be right. But most of the time, we love it.
We hope this is a place where you can learn to be a better parent, but without taking yourself too seriously.
Whether you're a new parent or have a few years under your belt, we hope you can find something new to think about.
Or laugh about. After all, this is Parenting in Real Life. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 69 of Parenting in Real Life. We just got back from vacation.
Which, spoiler alert, that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, you probably read the title, and it probably had something to do with vacation, so it was kind of already spoiled, but...
That's true.
Now it's officially spoiled.
Officially spoiled. We're talking about family vacations. But before we do that, we wanted to share our real-life parenting moment this week, and this one was hilarious.
It was so funny.
So... for Christmas, most of our kids got new Amazon Fire tablets. One of our kids didn't want a new one, but the rest of the kids did because they were getting a little slow. And this is the first time that Lucy has had her very own, which she's so grateful for because she was always grabbing everybody else's screens. So the other day, as we were preparing for our trip, I had like a case of water bottles and like stacks of granola bars and stuff that we just left out on the floor. So I didn't have to carry it up and down the stairs. And Lucy had her tablet in her hand. She's looking at it and she walks right into the water bottles, falls over, like, you know, just, she's short because she's 2 and just kind of rolls onto the ground and like her tablet falls out. Did not even faze her. She just picks up her tablet and keeps walking.
It was priceless because Alexis and I were both, like, in the kitchen talking but also watching her. And so we both, like, watched it happen. And we're both like, ugh! And she just picks it up and keeps going. It was so funny.
Then we just looked at each other and just started busting up laughing, like, what just happened?
It was so funny.
It's that classic, you know, when you see people looking at their phones and they run into stuff, you know?
What is that, Richard Scarry's Busy Town or whatever?
Yeah, Busy World of Richard Scarry.
Isn't there a book where the guy's like reading his paper or something and just walks like he walks through cement, wet cement. Oh. And then he like finally is like about to walk off a building. Yep. I can't remember what that's called, but that's what it reminded me of. Just yep. Totally oblivious to everything around her, focused on that tablet.
Yep. It was. Oh, we wish we would have had that on camera because it was priceless.
Mm-hmm. Now it's time for the products we're loving. We're going to try and make this more legitimate because we feel like our life has gotten so much better because of tools that we buy as parents. And so we are going to review something every week on the podcast, and it's going to be an honest review. If we hate it, we'll say so. If we love it, we'll say so. And we'll always provide the Amazon link so you can go to our notes and either buyer beware buy it or buy it because we recommend it. This is a product that makes parenting stink less, where we give you our honest review on a product that we hoped would change our lives. So the first one is the 8-inch Amazon Fire tablet. We have had lots of Amazon Fire tablets, but yeah. Generally the smaller ones and like the on Prime Day, they're like $25. And so they could buy one for all of the kids for less than we could buy one from Apple. Mm-hmm. So we had done that in the past, but they literally are garbage in like 6 months.
I'd give it at least a year.
Because Alexis is way more patient than me. if I was just reviewing these things on their performance, I would give them a solid 1.5 stars. They are so, so, so bad. But they do have a couple saving graces. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, the two saving graces are these newer ones we bought have double the storage, which still isn't a ton, but it's more.
I think it's 16 gigabytes. More. You can tell the difference. I definitely get the more storage.
Yep. And what's the other part that I like? Oh, the other thing that I think saves these is the parental controls. Mm-hmm. So the two parts of the parental controls, they have something called, so Free Time is a monthly subscription, but it literally makes all children's games free. And it's not everything, but it's
Everything?
Name that movie. It is, it's a lot of games. More games than their iPads can handle by a long shot. And that's the only downfall.
A lot of these ones that you have to pay for regularly. So they're free on the free time, which is really great.
Dr. Panda and I'm trying to think about the big ones that we had bought on our iPhones.
Yeah, but then they're free on these. So that's been great. There's a lot of, they have a lot of access to different apps that now are free to use.
And it takes out all the in-app purchases too. So they can play the game with no ads, which are always sketchy on kids' apps.
And I can block any app that I want. Mm-hmm. And I can also add apps, give them access to apps that I've downloaded and then put it on there. So you can do that too.
So I love how much control you have over what they're seeing and that you don't have to worry about like, I want this app and I want this app and I want this app. Or I saw this ad for this other stupid game. And so now I'm in this like death spiral of stupid games. So love that. The other thing that I love is time limits. Mm-hmm. They have really, really, really robust time limits. You can just set like an overall time limit that we do with Lucy. Or you can set like a per function time limit. Like they can do unlimited books and audiobooks, but only a half an hour of videos and an hour of apps, like normal just game apps. Mm-hmm.
And with our older kids who can read, you can set up, okay, they have to read for 30 minutes on the app before they can just play games. So I really enjoyed that part, dude.
I think it's awesome. So they are getting some things very, very right, including the price. Like even these bigger ones are still a really good price. They're just pretty low quality hardware.
Yeah, there's a little some frustration with the interface. Not super great. They don't put things how you would think they would order things. And then they only last like 1 to 2 years max. So I think these bigger ones might last 2 years better, but the smaller ones definitely only last a year. So
my rating would be 3.5 stars. What would you give it?
Yeah, I feel like that's right because they do a good job while they work. There's definitely some functions I wish were better, but they're good enough. And if the kids break them, whatever, they were on Prime Day, they're like $40, $50. Mm-hmm. So if you can wait till Prime Day, that's usually in July. This year was October. Last year was October.
Because wait for a sale. They do sales on their own stuff a lot. But Prime Day is the best day.
But that's quite a few months from now. So if you need something for your kids now, especially like on vacation, which we're about to talk about, then we'll put our link in the show notes for that. And we'll also put it on Instagram.
And then you can say, never, ever, ever can you use my device again, which is the biggest thing.
That's true.
It's like, because they steal our phones or iPads and then we never see them again. They go hide under their bed, and 18 hours later, they've watched 18 hours of YouTube.
Yeah.
So I love that you can give them this, and it you know, controls it for them. Yeah. So
no more phone and no more iPad.
I would give it a higher score if the hardware is better, and I would give it a lower score if the parental controls were worse. But like, it kind of meets in the middle. They kind of average out. We've bought them multiple times, so it's working. It's for definitely us. Worthwhile purchase for us, but it's frustrations too.
So this week we have a sponsor, which I'm really excited to talk about. This sponsor is Come Follow Me FAG. And I have a coupon code for you guys at the very end, but just to give you a few things about them, this is for members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And every week we work on Come Follow Me, which is our Sunday school and also primary activities for our kids. So this is an awesome website. We've been using it for a while, at least a year, maybe 2 years. I don't know. Since she started, I think about since she started that we've been doing this. But it's been great because every week they have lessons for you to use throughout the week. And then they have a main lesson for you. You can use it on Sunday or for family home evening. There's also lots of coloring pages and activity ideas and scriptures to read. So it's just really awesome. They also just came out with some coloring books, which are really fun, that I'm excited for our kids to use. So lots of really great options. It's only $7 a month for these full lessons, which is a really great deal, I feel like. There's also monthly bonus materials, and then there's the 12 lessons every single time. So it's a really great deal. You just go onto the website and log in, and you have access to that week's lessons. So if you want to use the discount code for 20% off your purchase, use ALEXIS20. And this is all lowercase. So just ALEXIS20 for 20% off. And this is only good until the 24th. So If you're interested, if you feel like you just need something to supplement your Come Follow Me learning, this is a really great resource. We highly recommend it. So
January 24th.
January 24th. Yeah.
So you're gonna have a few days. Jump on it. Get her done.
Yep. And that's at comefollowmefhe.com.
Yep.
And I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. This is the Hot Mess Hot Minute, where we sum up our podcast episode in a minute so you can decide if this episode is worth your precious time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Hot Mess Hot Minute, where we tell you everything you need to know from our episode in under a minute so that you can decide whether or not you want to listen to the rest.
So, here we go. First thing about this episode, when deciding between a hotel and an Airbnb, make sure you check for final costs. They sneak in a ton of cleaning and taxes right at the end. Also, hotels have free things like breakfast, but Airbnbs have more space and a kitchen.
Number two, don't run too hard on vacation. It is a vacation. So allow rest during the day and a whole day if you're doing a multi-day thing, like choose something more relaxing to do one day, like going to the beach instead of back to back to back to back to back Disneyland. Allow rest when you get home before jumping into the next school and work day too, so that you actually feel rested.
Number three, have a slush budget for souvenirs, food, and activities, so you don't feel super stressed out when you have more things that you want to spend your money on. So just have it all be a part of the cost of the vacation.
Finally, Alexis and I have a big debate on if you should have a classic spot or explore new spots. All right, now to the main event. We just got back 3 hours ago from a weekend vacation, and it was one of my favorites. I liked a lot of things about it.
It went really well. We went to Zion National Park, which is in southern Utah.
Mm-hmm. Alan and I went to Martin Luther King Jr. weekend.
Yeah. We've only been to the Narrows. We did that when we were dating. We hiked the Narrows, which is super fun because the hike is like all through water and in these slot canyons. So
it's a wild hike, not for kids.
Yeah, definitely not for kids, especially small kids. So that's not what we did this time. We did some other hikes and it was really fun. And my biggest thing was I just wanted to go somewhere where it was warmer than it is here.
And we nailed it. It was like 60s, which felt amazing. It was cold in the mornings when we were doing our hikes. But then in the afternoons, it was really warm and sunny and blue skies. So it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I loved that it was short. I loved that it was close. I loved that it was no days off from work or school because I have Martin Luther King Jr. Day off, and as I should. That was awesome. I liked all of those things about it. That's what made it so great for me.
Yeah. So we're going to give you some tips for vacationing with kids. And we're mostly going to be sticking to travel when you're traveling in the car. We did do an episode about flying with kids back when we flew from Wisconsin to Utah with our five children.
Too long, didn't listen? Don't. Just don't do that.
So that was episode 30, way back. So if you want some tips for flying with your kids, definitely go back to episode 30. But today we're going to be talking about just general vacationing.
That's right. And we actually wrote this on vacation. So it is like real in the trenches tips. The first is things we do in the car. And so it's kind of just a laundry list of things. And we can include these lists physically so you can just quickly look through them somewhere. Mm-hmm. But Alexis is great. This is all Alexis. But she is great. Always having trash bags, which is just like extra grocery bags.
Yeah.
Because there's always trash everywhere. And so having a trash bag, our car still looks like somebody died in it when we get home. But at least our area up front has like some order to it.
And I just keep trash bags all the time in the glove box. And so you can just pull them out whenever you need them. So just keep like a little stash of grocery bags in there. We also make sure to bring lots of snacks. Have access to the snacks, and we just let the kids eat in the car. Usually we don't let them eat in the car when we're just doing whatever, but on vacation, that's when we eat in the car. Give them something to do.
Yeah, love it. We have a couple of car sick kids, and so Dramamine has been a lifesaver. There's a children's Dramamine.
Yeah, it's just a little chewable tablet, and you can just find it at the grocery store, but it's specifically for kids. And ever since we've been using it, no one's had any issues with it, so that's been great. Also, we bring digital entertainment, which you know, growing up in the 90s, it kind of hurts me. Like when we didn't get that when we were kids and we were fine, you know, but the world has changed and I feel like our kids need something now.
They don't need it. I will not go that far. They are lazy and I am lazy and it is painful to hear them say, I'm so bored all the time when there's solutions to boredom now. There's still times where we're like, no, you can look out the window and you can figure something out.
Yeah.
We've taught them the alphabet game. We've taught them some like analog things.
Lots of card games you can play.
So trying to get them to appreciate that. But it is nice if you have it and can do it, put in a movie, give them a screen, makes that time fly.
Yep. I also have a kids playlist. If you listen to Spotify or Apple Music, like we have a playlist just for our kids that's like 4 hours long or something. So.
Well, this is critical to me because it's not just having the playlist, but making sure it's stuff that doesn't drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Because one trip we listened to Baby Animals for like 18 hours and the ages were different, but like that was painful because it's like 8 songs, hated every one of them over and over and over again. This is like probably 3 or 4 hours of music and I like 3 hours of it.
Yeah. There's a few songs.
There was definitely somewhere I'm like, no, skip it before they hear it.
Like Perry Grip. Ugh. If you know Perry Grip, you know what I'm talking about.
Burn and die, Perry Grip. I'm not a troll, but I would troll that guy. Terrible stuff. So make a list of things that they like, but you can bear. I think we can share Spotify playlists. We should share that.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Okay, we'll try to share our Spotify playlist.
Yep. We also have found some podcasts that are for kids. And we just did one this time called Imagined Life. Generally for adults, but they are doing like the occasional episode for kids. They have 3 right now.
Yeah.
So good. Our like super spaz off the walls 6-year-old just ate up every second and was totally in it. I was always amazed. He was like, at the end, he was asking questions and wanting to see pictures. Like, were you seriously listening? Like,
yeah,
it sucked him in.
They're just amazing storytellers. So good. And they speak to you as if it's you're in first person. So as you're.
We didn't tell the premise. So it's.
Oh.
It's yeah. All one story about one person.
A real person.
But they don't tell you who it is. And so the whole time you're kind of guessing and wondering. And they're telling you this, like Alexa said, in first person, which is fun because it's all like you woke up and you did this and you did this. And. You're like, oh, I think I know who that is. And the kids mostly didn't. They didn't know any of these people really before.
Yeah.
But it's just great storytelling. And then at the end they tell you and they're like, oh, this is a real person and they want to know all about it. It's great.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I know there's tons of other storytelling podcasts and stuff that for kids and stuff. So find some that you like and play those in your car too because it gets their attention.
Yep, they're great.
Another thing that we like to do is find like an interesting stop along the way because you know you're going to have to take those bathroom breaks sometime. So I like to try to find like a place along the way where we could stop and look at something or get a fun treat. Like we like to get ice cream usually. So if you can find a fun little dairy or something to get. So just to kind of break things up but make it fun while you're stopping.
Yep. When you're driving from Wisconsin, there's this rando 20 feet Big Green Giant,
yes.
Like the
in Minnesota
ho 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 guy, and so we'd stop there. So having something like that just breaks it up. It's fun. And then if it's a multiple day, I think we talked about multiple day trips in that other episode too.
Yeah, we've talked about this a long time ago. So if you're a newer listener, you probably haven't heard, but we like to bring prizes along the way, like every hour, if it's a multiple like day trip. Today's was only like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so we didn't need that. But if you're going to be in the car for like 10 to 12 hours, then this is a good way to kind of like get the kids excited for the long, long day ahead of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So now I want to talk about hotels versus Airbnbs because we've done both.
That's right. My frustration with Airbnb, I love everything about it. I love that it's people renting out their own space. I love that you get like a real space with a real kitchen and real everything. But my frustration every time has been the scam that they play with pricing. They have this nightly rate and it's just garbage.
Yeah, it's not even close because they don't show you the cleaning fee, which is a lot. It costs a lot. It's like over $100 for usually for a cleaning fee, at least the houses that we get, because we usually get bigger ones for our families. Yeah. But there's a huge cleaning fee plus tons of taxes on top of it. So the price is almost double what you think it is. You're just like, oh.
So you, it's not the Airbnb. There's anything wrong with Airbnb. We need to start like looking at the total price after you hit checkout or whatever, before you say, yes, we're definitely going to Airbnb.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know the price comparison. Mm-hmm. I think I would pay like a 10 or 20% increase over a hotel generally, because it is nice, but it is just highway robbery, all the fees that they hide in.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, it just bugs me.
We do like Airbnb. Like we usually get like a house because there's multiple bedrooms, which is nice when you have kids of different ages. You can separate them or you can put kids to sleep at different times. So that's really nice. We also like ones that we can share with other families, yeah. and that helps with the price when you're sharing, when you're splitting it. So yeah. like if you have your siblings going with you or grandparents or whatever, that's been really great.
Yep.
And then we also like when there's a kitchen, because then you can make your own food, so you don't have to eat out for every meal.
Save a ton of money on that.
Yeah.
That
so you bring some food with you or grocery shop while you're there, whatever. So those are definitely the pluses of mm-hmm. not being at a hotel. This weekend we went to a hotel and actually it went really well.
Yeah. This hotel we went to was amazing. The breakfast, even in COVID times, was great. They had mm-hmm. several microwavable options. They had – everything was individually wrapped, so I felt safe, but it also had just a lot of variety, and the kids loved it.
Yeah. So that was really awesome.
They also had Uncrustables, which I don't see as a breakfast food, and we didn't. We all grabbed one, and that was our lunch every day. So we had brought like stuff to make sandwiches. But shoot, it was so slick to just grab Uncrustables, put them in a bag, and take them with us on our hikes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So we had brought all the snacks and stuff. So we,
so we were getting breakfast and lunch. Yeah, and so it's like, nice. Even if we're paying more for this than an Airbnb, this is so much value.
Yeah.
In saving those two meals.
And they don't have the cleaning fees. I mean, I'm sure they do, but it's already built in. So you know right away what the price is going to be. So I like that.
Spring Hill Suites in Springdale, Utah.
It was just really,
five stars.
Really nice place.
It's, would very much recommend.
It's newer. The setup was really great. There was just space for, they even had like walk-in closets. You can like store all your mm-hmm. stuff. Like it's just really, and a pull-out bed rather than just, you know, that lame old like sofa beds. Like they actually had like yeah. a pull-out bed from your sofa. So everyone had somewhere to sleep. So it was great. We really liked that place a lot.
Yep.
So if you go to Zion National Park, definitely check out, what's it called?
Spring Hill Suites.
I always forget the name. Spring Hill Suites.
In Springdale. So good. Another huge tip for vacationing is to allow rest times throughout the day. Throughout the day and rest days. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing like a big long haul of a week of something, it's really nice to not book it so hard mm-hmm. so that you're just exhausted. So we were doing hiking and we have a lot of young kids. So we would get up, go do a hike, and then we kind of just took the afternoon off. You know, we'd come home, we'd play games, we'd do puzzles. And to me, that's a lot of the fun of a vacation. Mm-hmm. So leave space for rest yeah. throughout the day.
Alan's sister, who's gone to Disneyland for multiple days. So like I grew up in California, so Disneyland was just a one day thing. And then we went home. But I'm people who come from out of state, like
yeah.
stay multiple days. So this is just
hit it hard and yes, go crazy.
Something I hadn't even thought of, but she said they'll do like 2 days at Disneyland and then do one day at the beach and then go back to Disneyland one more day. So that way yeah. you can like, cause really Disneyland, if you haven't been, you are walking and going all day long and it is yeah. pretty exhausting. So to do that for more than 2 days for, especially for kids, is mm-hmm. going to be too much. So if you have a day, you can go walk at the beach. If it's the summer, you can go swimming and stuff and then do one more day at Disneyland. Then it's yeah. probably better. Your kids, like, you just want to be able to like, yeah, let's do it all, you know, but your kids need mm-hmm. lots of breaks.
I went skiing once a year. I grew up in Utah, but only went skiing once a year. And because it was that, whatever the weather was, whatever, however you were feeling about the day, that was our only day. And so we would go and we would go at 8 a.m. and we would not come home until 5 p.m. And it was just like, there's a lot of days where I wish I didn't ever ski because we just pushed it so hard. And so part of a vacation should be relaxing. And so I'm a big fan of slowing down and don't feel like you have to do everything. I know it's frustrating because you've spent all that time and money to get there, but you could ruin what there is if you don't slow down.
Yeah, for sure. Our fourth tip is just keep doing more trips. Because I feel like when you start doing family vacations, if you haven't done them a lot before, you're going to have grumpy kids. And then you're going to think, why are we doing this? My kids hate the car. My kids hate the activities. Nobody slept well. And it's can get miserable.
five out of five kids cried in the minutes before leaving. Because they're like, oh, we don't want to go. We want to sit on our bums and play Nintendo. And we're like, are you kidding? We're literally leaving on vacation right now. Yeah. And
you're like, so why are we even doing this?
You just have to push through it. You got to just do it. And the more you do it, the more they get used to it. Mm. It was amazing. Now I think our kids would die if we told them we were driving 20 hours. But when we did the cross-country stuff, they figure it out. They get used to it. It's like anything.
They were really good in the car.
You get used to it. But don't start with 20 hours, right? Yeah. Like every state has something cool except probably New Mexico.
No, New Mexico has those Carlsbad caverns,
right? New Mexico has one cool thing. No, we have we're not prejudiced in a lot of ways except against New Mexico. We've never stepped foot there, but we are confident that it's just garbage.
Not that it's garbage, just in my mind, I just see sagebrush and no people.
I don't even see sagebrush. I think it's all one sand dune. It's just sand dunes. It's like the boring Sahara.
We're sorry. If you're from New Mexico and you love it, please
troll the heck out of us.
DM us and let us know what you love about it, because we have no idea. We've never been there. But for some reason in our heads, it's like New Mexico.
It's mostly Alexis's head, but it's true. We've just decided to give New Mexico a bad time. But start small, start close, do things near you, and then branch out from there.
Yep.
Next one, souvenirs. This is a big one for me. I hate spending money, and so if it's a surprise, then it hurts me. I'm afraid of Disneyland because I'm afraid that I'm going to go and everything's going to cost $100.
Because it is.
And it is. And if I don't have like a budget set aside for that, then I'm going to hate every minute of Disneyland. So I have to just say, like, part of the cost of Disneyland is X number of dollars a day. And so that money's already earmarked. It's already saved. And then we can spend it and I can feel great about it. So do that, right? Like even on this trip, like we did today, we stopped at a little rock and gem shop and let all the kids pick out a few things. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a ton of money, but it was a lot of fun for them. And it just feels better if you plan on like a little bit of a slush fund for your trip.
I also bought a meaningful souvenir for us. I'm going to start putting it on our bookcases of like, just to remember the places we went. Like they had these really cool sandstone sculptures. So we bought one of those. Stuff. And so that way when you look at them, like, oh, that's time we went to Zion, you know?
Yep.
So it's fun for adults too.
Related to rest days is a buffer day. A lot of times when you go on these big long vacations, you like leave Saturday night, get back Sunday night or whatever, and you have work and school or whatever the next day. Bad idea. Especially on a long trip like that, I think it's super important to build in a buffer day so that you can get home. And even if it's just like getting home earlier in the day, you just can't get home like after dinner and then have to get home, clean up, and be ready for normal life. It's just, it makes it so your vacation wasn't relaxing.
Yeah.
And so you have to build in that relaxing day or you get back and feel like more stressed than ever.
Like today we got home at 4 and I loved it because
we were unpacked by 5.
Yep. We just had cereal for dinner. So it was super easy. And the kids just kind of sat around. Like even though we've been sitting in the car all day, there's just something.
It's different.
It is different. Just lounging around in your house, you know, and then we put them to bed at a normal time. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready for tomorrow.
Yep. You know, it felt going so back fun. To work tomorrow feels like, yeah, that was a nice break. Mm-hmm. And part of it is because we relaxed along the way. And part of it's because we gave ourselves a little bit of time this afternoon.
Yep.
All right, last thing in this, we recognize this long list. Like I said, we had a lot of good ideas because we were literally driving. last thing is we don't have a solution here, but I think there's two ways to go with vacations. One is have your classic place. So have your place that you always go. And the other is explore. Go a new place every time. Never go to a place that you've been before so that you just see the world.
So this has kind of been a debate in our marriage because Alan grew up going to one place every summer and he loves it and we still go there. And I would rather explore. I don't know. I like both, I guess. Maybe we just need to do a healthy balance of both. But yeah. I just really like seeing new things and trying new stuff. And let's go explore around us and see what there is, you know?
I think that is the solution to this debate that we haven't even started yet.
We're getting ready to like, okay, let's debate this.
I do think that at the end of the day, if you can manage both, that's awesome. Mm. But my position on classic place is having a classic place is like – there's a lot of psychological stuff going on that is powerful to me. Like when I go to the cabin and it's this old, I'm sure I've talked about it. It's this old cabin in the mountains of Idaho. As soon as I pull up, like just all of these neural connections from my childhood start firing. And I walk in and the smell is just more than my home that I grew up in. This place has a smell that does something for me. And going down to the lake and seeing the dot, like all of it is so like powerfully connected in my mind that it is like instantly a place of peace and happiness and comfort. And so I love that so much. I love like having that every time I go. And I love that I can still go. And now my kids are developing that and they love, you know, they're learning those things. And so I think there's something to having that classic place. I also, in opposition to exploring, I feel stressed in new places. Like we went to Dallas and I spent most of that in my mind when I think of our trip to Dallas, and it wasn't even with the kids. I think of being stressed and driving. Like I felt like we were just driving in all of these stressful situations all the time. And it's not true. We did lots of fun things there, but because it's new, like those are the emotional parts for me. Is like, new freeways, new construction, new drivers. So when exploring, especially in cities, I feel stressed and it's not as fun for me.
Well, maybe we just need to do more national parks then. We were talking about how we do really like...
I do like small towns.
National parks and small towns. And those are... Usually they have those fun little quirky things that are fun to explore. So...
I'm down with that.
Yeah, if we do more.
We talked about, should we go to all of the continental United States national parks?
Yeah, because there's a ton in Alaska.
We're not doing Alaska. Sorry, guys. Alexis hates New Mexico, but she is like, doesn't even recognize Alaska as a state.
It's too cold. And there's no sunshine in the winter. I just would not. I've heard it's beautiful in the summer. It's not going to be hot enough for me.
It's all sunshine. It's 24 hours of sunshine in the summer.
Sitting in the 70s is not summer to me, but I would never be able to live there. I would not live through winter, but
I will go to Alaska before I die for sure, with or without you.
And I thought maybe that would be fun to like, I'm like, maybe there's some sort of trip you could go through all the national parks in like a couple weeks times throughout Alaska.
I was like, Alexis, it would take a couple weeks just to drive to all of them. No, Alaska's massive.
It's big, but
she's like, on the map, it's small. I'm like, yeah, because they shrink it down to the size of Hawaii.
No, it's still way bigger than Hawaii. I don't know. We need to look that up because isn't it? It's bigger than Texas.
Yes, we'll just do a Google map of a trip from Anchorage to all of those places.
Aren't there mountains and stuff?
I'm guessing over 30 hours.
There's probably not a way to drive through all of them, but maybe we'll just do a couple and count it. But there's a ton there.
Anyway, what's your case for exploring?
I just want to, I like seeing different things, you know, seeing things that aren't around you, just trying something new. There's just so much to see in this world that I want to be able to see as much as I can, you know, because it's cool. We went to Zion and they have the Red Rock and the different hikes there and the Emerald Pool. So that was awesome. But, and then you can go up to Yosemite or Yellowstone and
whole different things. I hear that.
Yeah. They just have different things to show you and different landscapes, you know, where we have desert or we have wilderness or whatever. There's just lots of different types of things to see. And so I'm like, why not go check it out? Mm-hmm. You know, why do the same thing over and over when you can go see different things?
Nobody has this month's vacation, but in my perfect vacation world, I think you do 6 trips a year to the same place and 4 trips a year to someplace new. That would be a ton of trips.
That would be so much.
But, and the
6 thing, at the same place? You want to go to the cabin 6 times?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so that's not a realistic number. Let's say we do 5 trips a year. I think 3 and 2 would be great.
How about 2 to the same place, 3 exploring? I'd prefer that.
And here we are. This is why it's a debate for us.
But it's okay. We don't travel that much. And
I think we could do 5 trips a year.
Well, maybe we could. I think now that our kids are a little bit older, it's gotten easier.
Yeah.
And
especially if they're close and short. So
we'll let you know how that goes. Our first one, Zion National Park. This is our first time really doing the hikes besides the Narrow. So first one, explore. Done.
That's right. And we were just planning out all of our cabin trips. So we'll get that on too.
Yep.
Let us know what you think. Are you team classic or team explore?
Yep.
And if you're team explore, just write a physical letter and mail it to Alexis. And if you're team classic, then comment on all of our channels.
I would like a letter. Please do that.
Thanks everyone for listening. Alexis, as always, thanks for your great research.
And Alan, thanks for your amazing editing skills.
You can follow us on Instagram at Alexis Tanner Lane or tweet us. I'm at Alan T. Tanner.
And I'm at Alexis Tanner 1. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
And give us a rating. That's how people find out about our podcast. And as always, a special thanks to our 5 kids for being kids.